Well, I think of that song, Soul Be on Thy Guard. It says 10,000 foes arise to draw thee from the skies. And some of them are pretty strong foes. But we got someone stronger than the foes. Thank the Lord. You know, the one place he tells us in the 6th chapter of Ephesians says, take the whole armor of God. You know, if we have the armor of God, well, that's the strongest armor there is. There's no armor that is stronger than God's armor. So we're safe if we're under His care.
Yes, Lord.
I thank the Lord for this. I have a little subject on my heart. I certainly desire your prayers.
Amen.
We don't feel capable within ourselves of bringing a message. But I felt like the Lord had given me this little message, and I wasn't in a hurry to preach it, but maybe this is the time the Lord wanted me to give it out.
Amen.
I want to turn to the 15th chapter of St. John. Fifteenth chapter, 16th verse. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I thought of this verse, the meaning, the deep meaning of this verse says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know, when we start out, there was one man said one time, someone asked him, says, where did you find the Lord? And when did you find the Lord? He says, I didn't find the Lord. The Lord found me.
Amen.
So, see, it says here, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Thank the Lord.
I suppose that the scripture that says we had all gone astray as sheep, I suppose that would include us all. So we weren't really able to choose, were we?
Amen.
But we needed a compassionate Heavenly Father.
Amen.
To visit us and to turn us from our own ways to Him.
Yes, Lord.
So God, in His mercy and in His goodness, He chose, one place it says He's chosen us unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So the Lord had a way that He chose us. He first chose us in the way of sending His Son and preparing a salvation for mankind. One scripture says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
So it was really in God's mind to offer salvation to all men.
Yes.
And it's still in His mind to do that.
Amen.
But one place it says He's the Savior of all men, and especially those that believe. So when we believe, when we start out and accept the Lord, and we accept Him and believe Him and obey the gospel in as much as we know,
yes, Lord.
Well, God has a plan for us.
Amen.
He has a plan. It's just as much out of our reach as it was when we were going astray in our own individual understanding. We need the help of God in order to carry out that God has that plan for us.
Amen.
Over in Ephesians 1 and 4, we want to notice the scripture over here. Ephesians 1 and 4 says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love.
Amen.
Now, if you notice here in this first phase, It says, according as He has chosen us in Him.
Yes.
Now, each individual that He calls to repentance and to accept the gospel,
yes,
well,
Lord.
His God has chosen us in Him.
Yes.
He's looking at His Son, and then He's looking at us. He's looking at our feeble condition and our helpless condition.
Amen.
On one hand, He sees us that we're just only dust. One place it says, He remembereth our frame, that we're dust. And, but then on the other hand, He looks at His Son, who's filled with all wisdom and knowledge and power and glory and grace and love and mercy and compassion. And He looks at Him and He chooses us in Him. He thinks, well, now there's a chance for that man. There's a chance for that boy. There's a chance for that girl. If I can just get them into Christ and get them a looking to Christ and
Amen.
Receiving what Christ has for them. It says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I'm glad that God has given us a calling. He's given us a calling, and if you and I will obey that calling and continue to look to Him, well, He'll help us all along the way. He'll be our helper. I thought about the Apostle Paul. You know, when the Lord called him, Ananias wanted Ananias to pray for him. Ananias says, well, Lord, I've heard by many how that he has persecuted your people and destroyed, imprisoned your saints. And God told him, says, go thy way, Ananias, for he is a chosen vessel. He is a chosen vessel. God had a purpose for this man. He says he's a chosen vessel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. Well, you know what Paul did? He began to look toward God. He no doubt, in this 3 days' time that he was spending there at this house, when he was blind and struck down, no doubt he was Jesus when he told Ananias to go pray for him, says, behold, he prayed.
Yes.
He was looking to the right direction.
Amen.
God had chosen Paul in Christ.
Yes.
God had chosen, he had seen in Christ what could make Paul a useful man,
yes.
a mighty man, a special vessel. I think about when Stephen was stoned, when he was stoned, and it said that the Lord stood up when he was stoned.
Yeah.
And I've always entertained the thought that he, and I've heard it expressed that way, that he was standing up because Stephen was going through such hard things. He was standing up to give him grace. Well, I believe he had that also in mind.
Yes,
but also, I believe he was looking at the Apostle Paul. Paul, the garments was laid at his feet. They was laid at his feet there for the keeping. Now the Lord said, the Bible teaches us that the Lord makes intercessions for us.
Yes.
The Lord was making intercession not only for Stephen, but he was making intercession for the people that could be reached by Paul.
Yes.
He was no doubt praying to his Father, Lord, convict this man.
Right.
Convict this man.
Right.
Help him, Lord, to bring him to the light so that my word can go into the heathen nations and can go into the Gentiles. And, when God called Paul, he told him, and he says, go to the Gentiles whom I now send you. So, you know, all of that wisdom, all of our success, and all of our fruitfulness is in Christ.
Amen.
Outside of that, we have nothing. As Brother Hodge was praying, we have nothing. We're helpless within ourselves. And Paul said in one place, and says, well, Jesus said in one place, without me you can do nothing.
Amen.
Paul says in another place, through Christ I can do all things, through Christ which strengtheneth me. So that is where God is. That's where our roots is.
And
over in, I believe it is, in the fifth chapter of Isaiah, I believe it is the scripture we want. Fifth chapter of Isaiah.
Yes, Lord.
And the first verse says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song, my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill."
Amen.
Now Christ is that fruitful hill. And God has placed us as a vineyard, as individual members of, and as His church in the whole, however He chooses to work. He has chosen us, put us where we can be next to that fruitful hill.
Amen.
We can be getting some of the blessings that comes from that fruitful hill.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad that, you know, there's been many a minister that God has called to His work. And most of them, I suppose, maybe all of them, when God calls them, they feel incapable of carrying out what God wants them to do. But you know, God didn't call us. Moses felt incapable too. But God didn't, when Moses was making excuses, well, God asked him, says, "Who made man's mouth?"
Yes.
"Who made man's mouth?" Says, "I will be with thy mouth."
Amen.
So the Lord knew. And then He asked Moses, says, "What do you have in your hand?"
Yes.
Well, he had the rod of God in his hand. Well, the Lord, when He calls us, He gives us the Word of God.
Amen.
And there is where our victory lies, through the Word of God.
Yes,
and Christ is able to help us to get those things that is in Him. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Over in Psalms 132 and 13, we want to notice another scripture. Psalms 132.
Yes, Lord.
132:13 says, "The Lord hath chosen Zion; He hath desired it for His habitation." Now, our thought is the Lord's choosing tonight. What He has chosen, not what we have chosen, but what God has chosen. "For the Lord hath chosen Zion; He hath desired it for His habitation."
Yes, Lord.
Now, over in Psalms 2 and 6, He tells us why that He has chosen Zion. He says, "I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion."
Amen.
I've set my king. That is Jesus.
Yes.
The one that has all power in heaven and earth. And Jesus has, if you just knew it, if I just keep it in mind, if I just know it, Jesus has got everything that you and I need.
Yes.
He's got all the wisdom, all the grace, all the love, all the power, all the glory. He's got everything that we need.
Yes,
here it says, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion; He hath desired it for His habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread.
Yes, Lord.
I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointing. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish." I want to tell just a little incident that happened last night while I was asleep. I felt like it was the Lord that gave me this dream. I dreamed that there was some of the Bible says, if you have a dream, tell it as a dream. So I'm just telling what I dreamed.
Amen.
And you can figure out what you want to and what the Lord reveals to you. But here it says, "His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish." I dreamed that there was a group of saints, and they were getting ready for meeting or having some kind of meeting or something, and There was an officer, a police officer, dressed up with a with his holster on, with a gun, and he was seemed like was going to withstand this meeting. And I went up to that officer, and I took him in my arms, and I greeted him. I said, "Well, glad to see you." And it looked like it just kind of threw him off of his position. And but he was trying to get his courage back again. And he says he was going to stop these people, you know, that was involved in this meeting. He was going to stop me. And I told him, I says, "You cannot keep me from preaching the gospel. I got my calling from someone greater than you. And you cannot keep me from preaching the gospel." You know, I waked up along that line. And I just rejoiced. I thought, well, thank God. There was an officer all clothed with his holster, I guess you call it, and his gun. But he wheeled it away when I grabbed him, and I just grabbed him, you know, not harshly at all, but just kind of loving it. He just wheeled it. And then as he tried to keep his courage, well, he let me know he's going to stop this. There's something in my heart told him, "Amen. You can't keep me from preaching the gospel. I'm going to preach the gospel." And I felt that God was with me. Yes. So here it says, now that's, he has chosen us in him. Yes. Now the only, Christ is the only one that can give us boldness to meet the things that you and I meet with. It said of Peter and John, it says, when they were brought up before the magistrates, it says, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. It said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. Yes, well, you know, now the Lord can give us boldness. He wants to give us holy boldness. Yes. Not just brass boldness, but holy boldness. Boldness to stand for what's right. Stand for what's true. Stand for what Christ died for. He wants to give us boldness to stand for that. And He's able to do it, dear ones. He's able to do it. And I thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
Over in Isaiah 48. Well, no, I don't want that scripture yet. We'll go to 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people." Now, if Christ could see that in us, no wonder that it is said that that He has chosen you.
Amen.
That's the reason He chooses us, because He chooses us to follow Him. You know, when He was here, about every time He met with someone concerning the kingdom of God, He'd tell them to follow me.
Yes, He would.
Sometimes when He called the disciples, He always told them to follow Him. But others that came to Him, He told the rich young ruler, He says, "Sell all that you have and give to the poor."
Amen.
"And come and follow me."
Yes,
see, did. Christ had something to impart to that rich young ruler.
Yes,
he had something to make that rich young ruler a blessing if he had just obeyed Christ.
Amen.
But when he turned from Christ, well, he lost the things that was the most precious that he would ever have a chance to do. Anytime we fail to do what Christ wants us to do, we have missed our mark.
Amen.
We have missed the thing that counts the most. Because He can take the things, over in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says He takes the things that are despised and things that are weak to confound the things that are mighty and things that are not, to bring to naught things that are.
Amen.
But see, if Christ can get His hand on it, well, then He can do wondrous things.
Yes.
So God has chosen you. If you are a Christian tonight, if you have turned from sin, God has a special calling for you.
Amen.
He has a special place for you.
Amen.
He has something for you to do. He sees something in your life. He sees something in Him that would make you what you should be. He has the answers. He has the answers for every one of our lives. Christ does. And not only that, He doesn't only have the answers, but He wants to give them to us.
Yes,
He wants to unfold those answers to us.
Amen.
But you know, the only way that He can do that is if we trust Him, live for Him, submit to Him,
yes,
yield all into His hands. Then, as He sees we're able, He's able to unfold to us those things that would be for our good.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for the mercies of God, the few things that He's unfolded to me. He's unfolded such beautiful things to me that it makes me want to keep following Him, keep looking to Him. It says here in 1 Peter 2 and 9, "But ye are a chosen generation." You know, when He chose Abraham, He chose Abraham, says, "Through thy seed, I'm going to bless all nations." You know what He was looking at? He was looking at Christ.
Amen.
He was looking for the time when Christ would die and suffer and give His life for all of for the sins of the whole world,
yes,
that every man might have a chance at salvation. Every nation in the four quarters of the earth, that they have a chance of salvation. He was looking when Christ would appear,
Amen,
when He would come on the scene. He says, but you are a chosen generation. One place that says, from the beginning He has chosen you. Well, I believe God had something in the beginning of time that He wanted to bring man to, and it was only through Christ that we could be brought,
Amen,
to that. And then I think about Moses, when God chose Moses and appeared to him, says, "I've chosen you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt." And then after Moses received the law from God and been up there talking face to face with God and getting his laws and so on, and, well, Moses told them, says, "God has chosen you to be a peculiar people. He has chosen you." Well, Moses was a type of Christ, and he was a leader of the children of God at that time, but he couldn't do really what God wanted to be done. He fell short of it. That old covenant fell away short of what God wanted. But God was looking forward to the time when there would be a way opened to mankind, that he could come to the fountain of and drank of God's love, of His power, of His grace. And he could come to the fountain and really find out the will of God.
Amen.
Find out what God wanted him to do. So he chose. We're a chosen people. Remember the little thought. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Amen.
God had something in mind when He chose us. He has something in mind when He chose you. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. That's right next to the king, isn't it? Royal priesthood. Well, Christ was our high priest.
Amen.
But He shed His blood for us. Over in Revelations 1 and 5, I believe it tells us over here, in Revelations 1 and 5, I believe, it says, "From Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Now, Jesus, the first thing that He saw about us, He saw that we need to be washed from our sins. And He freely shed His blood that our sins could be blotted out.
Amen.
Not only blotted out, but that our hearts could be cleansed from sin. Then it says here, a little later, down further in this reading, it says, "And unto Him that loved us and washed us. You know, I'm glad that God loved me. Even when I was a sinner, God loved me. And He shed His blood. And then as I accepted that blood, and as I obeyed Him and repented of my sins and turned to Him, He washed me from my sins in His own blood. And has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory forever and ever, and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, the priests back there under the Mosaic Law, their job was mainly was to offer up sacrifices. And well, the Lord now, He's made you and I priests, and we offer up sacrifices of praise and of thanksgiving and of thankfulness. And then it says, hath made us kings and priests, made us kings. Well, you know, a king is someone that has authority, isn't it? Has someone that has power.
Amen.
Well, and what do we have power over? The Lord says, I'll give you power when the Holy Spirit is come.
Amen.
That power is over ourselves, over sin, over temptation, over all of the powers of the enemy. He has made us kings and priests. We don't have to. You know, Jesus said one place, He says, what king going to war with another king setteth not down first and count the cost? Well, you and I, without Christ, we would be coming against something that we couldn't surmount. But with Christ as our leader, Christ as our Father and our Savior and our Provider and our all in all, well, we can meet the opposition. We can meet whatever the enemy might bring against us. He has made us kings and priests. You know, I don't remember ever reading where David ever lost a battle. Now, he may have lost some, but I don't remember. And he was a type of Christ. Christ had never lost a battle. So now then, this same one that hadn't lost a battle said He'd make us kings and priests. So He has authority to do that, doesn't He?
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. In Titus 3 and 7, well, maybe we want to wait a little bit about that. We want to turn to Matthew 20 and 16. Says, so the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many shall be called, but few are chosen. Now, the Lord, but through His goodness, through His mercy, through His kindness, His great heart of love, He calls all mankind. One time, this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth man everywhere to repent.
Amen.
When Jesus gave the commission to the disciples, He says, go and preach the gospel to all nations.
Yes.
And then one place says to every creature. Well, so it says many are called. You know, I don't know how God gives a call to the multitudes of people. Millions and millions of people in the world. I don't know how He does it. But I'm persuaded that He calls some way or another to every soul. One scripture says, He lighteth, this is a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Some way or another, Christ has paid them a call. Some way or another, He's given a call. But says, many are called, but few are chosen. Well, there's a lot of people. Jesus gave the parable of the sower. The sower that went forth to sow. He just sowed His seed everywhere. Everyone. Those different places represented the hearts of all men. The seed by the wayside, the seed on the stony ground, the seed among the thorns, the seed in the good ground, that represents the hearts of all men. I believe that's what it represents. But there was a call there, but there was only those that was on the good ground really brought forth the fruit to perfection. Well, I think about God's call to us. Now, God, if you're saved tonight, God has given you a special call.
Amen.
He has visited you. He wanted to take you to heaven. That's Brother Chandler. I remember him saying, when the Lord saved you, He had in mind to sanctify you and to take you to heaven. That was His goal.
Amen.
But now, if we come short of that, we have missed what God had called for. But and it's a whole lot up to us as individuals as to whether God will choose us at the last to dwell with Him in eternity.
Amen.
Here it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Now we might turn to Isaiah 48 and 10 and look at this verse. Well, we might read the ninth verse. That's the beginning of the paragraph. For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. You know, the Lord, through His great purpose, through His wisdom, He has chosen us, probably all of us, to a certain degree, in the furnace of affliction.
Yes, Lord.
One place that Paul tells Timothy, says, be thou a partaker of afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
Amen.
Now, there are some afflictions that goes with following Christ. It said Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So God has a purpose in affliction. But He says, 48 and 10, behold, I have refined thee. Now the Lord, when He chooses us, sometimes He sees we need some refining. He sees that we need refining. So He turns, He puts us in the furnace. He turns the heat on. He lets trials come our way that we have never even thought about. He lets us see our weakness that we didn't know we had. And so that we'll call upon Him, draw near to Him, cry unto Him. Then it says here in 48 and 10, says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. Aren't we glad that we've got someone that chooses us,
Amen.
That He is willing to take away the dross from our lives? Now, just what would we be like if we go through life and never learn anything, never learn humility, never learn patience, never learn forbearance, never learn any of the good things that Christ has to add to us? What would we be like? Well, God, He wants to refine us. He's chosen us, but He wants to polish us up, son. He wants to do something for us that we couldn't do ourselves. Then He says here, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction.
Yes, Lord.
Now, when you and I are willing to stay in the furnace and not to turn back, not to murmur, not to complain, but to draw closer to God, plead His promises, tell Him, Lord, I know that you're true, I know Your Word is true, and I know and when we can get to the place like Job says,
yes,
I know
Lord.
When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Yes,
well,
Lord.
When we get to that place, God has really chosen us then. He puts a real special choice upon us. When the dross is removed, we become more chosen of God. One place it says He has chosen us unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God works with our heart and gives us power to lay aside some of the things that we have cherished and held to, well, God especially chooses us then. We become a special choice to Him. Over in Malachi, I believe it is, says when he comes to make up his jewels, says he will remember and spare them even as a father spareth his son that serveth him. The Lord, he's got some value on us if we're if we have obeyed him, if we have turned aside from everything that we know is wrong, if we have trusted him, put our all in his hand, then we become a jewel. We become something that is precious in the Lord's sight. Over in Titus 3 and 7, we want to notice another scripture. In Titus 3 and 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Did you know that the Lord has eternal life in mind for every one of us? We here, I'm what you'd call an old man now. I'm 73 years old. And it doesn't seem like it's been long since I was just a young boy.
Yes.
Well, Terrell, my daughter, she has a motto that my brother and his wife gave her. It says, with God behind us and His arms underneath us, we can face the future, I believe. Whatever lies before us. Well, that's good in a way, but when I looked at that motto, I thought I'd rather put it with God before us. Now, I'm not finding fault with that, but I'm just bringing out a thought. Amen. With God before us, with heaven before us, we have something wonderful. And, you know, God has chosen us in Him, that it's His will for us, the further we go. One song says, the more I love Him, the more love He bestows. And the further I go, the less I feel like turning back. Maybe something to that effect. Well, I believe it is God's will for us. The further we go, the brighter our hopes should be. Over in Proverbs, I believe it is 4 and 18, if I remember right, it says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, who is that talking about? The path of the just. That's those people that have believed in Christ, have yielded to Him, have stood the test by God's grace and help, and then looking to the to Him for the finishing up, and finally. One place it says over in the 73rd Psalm says, guide me, He will guide me with Thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Amen. That's really what the Lord has in mind. That's what He's chosen us unto eternal life.
Yes, Lord.
That's what He wants to give. Well, the same one that has fed us through the wilderness, or through this world, and cared for us, stood by us, well, He wants us to live in eternity with Him.
Amen.
He wants to give us a home in eternity.
Yeah.
And He's able to do that. He's able to do it. In Revelations 14 and 7, we might read another scripture too. Revelations 14 and 7.
Amen.
14 and 7. Let's see. No, it's 14:4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now it says that follow the Lamb, wheresoever he goeth. Over in Revelation 17, and we want to notice another scripture over here. Revelation 17. And the 14th verse says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Now, that gets in the faithful people of God. Over in Revelation 7 and 14, we want to notice another scripture over here. Revelation 7 and 14. "And he said unto me, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither shall thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat.
Yes.
For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them to living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes."
Yes.
Now that's what God has chosen us to. He's chosen us to an eternal inheritance, to an eternal bless, eternal presence with Him, where God will wipe away all tears from our eyes.
Yes, Lord.
You know, there's a song that I like that we have in our song book. I think it's 446, if I remember right, where it says, "There's a happy world above, where there's joy and peace and love."
Amen.
Now, just think about that. A happy world above, where there's joy and peace and love. Won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
To be in a place like that? Well, that's what God has chosen us to.
Praise.
And if we'll follow on, well, that's where He'll take us. I thank the Lord for what He has chosen in us. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Pray for me.